evening, ladies Blog and gentlemen.
Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, world. This is Daniel Clark, Daniel Clark Network Radio, the show that you can get all of the information on politics and things that's happening around the world. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Our special guest tonight will be Lene Ward. She is running for the mayor of Enfield. And tonight she's going to be my special guest. She's going to come on and she wants to discuss the different things that she have as her 100-day plan, things that would assist and help the individuals in the community of Enfield, North Carolina. Also tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about the government shutdown. We'll have from 7 until 8:30, we'll have the candidate for mayor on, and then we will go into the second phase, which we will talk about everything that's going on with our government and the shutdown of the government and how it affects you and your family. Once again, you're listening to Daniel Clark Network Radio. This show is called Community Watch, and it is being sponsored by A Plus Auto Sales. Good cars, great prices. If you're interested in a great price car, you can call Jeff Clark at 252-343-5224. Also, tonight, this show has been sponsored by Reuben's. Reuben's Barbecue. Some of the best food that you can think of. It's a black-owned establishment, and I like to encourage everyone to support your own. Reuben is located at 1232 North Westland Boulevard in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Some of the best food around town, so we want to keep our black establishments up and going, so please, you know, deviate from your norm and make sure that this brother keep up and going. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Shaw Ballpark Trail Riders. They're inviting you to help them celebrate their third annual trail ride. That is going on tonight. And tomorrow night is 9205 Shaw Road. This is in Kentley, North Carolina. Friday night is your fish fry. Trail rides begin at 11 a.m. Saturday. $10 donation after 3. Music by DJ Bernard. Guest appearance by C Smooth of the Nasty Boys. For more information, you can contact Bobby Bryant, 252-315-3447. Look like I have some callers on the line. Is anyone there? Apparently, I'm having some technical difficulties here, so if you could please bear with me. Hello. Call, are you there? Hello. Can you hear me? Okay, call, if you're there, give me a second here. I've got a few technical difficulties. Let me see what's going on. Just don't go any place. Y'all just stay right there. Let me call in and find out what's going on.
All right, so I'm called in. I want to see if I can connect with one of your listeners. Is that okay?
Okay, just a second, Daniel.
Okay, I'm in. So now I'm trying to get my first call, and this says, hello. It's saying mute, screen, hang up, and live. I'm pressing on live.
Hi,
hello.
Dan. I hear you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Hey, Miss Ward, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I tell you, the devil's really busy tonight, but we got it taken care of. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Daniel Clark. You're on Daniel Clark Network Radio. And my guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the one and only Miss Lene Ward, and she is running for mayor of Enfield, North Carolina. And tonight we want to discuss some of her concepts, thoughts, and ideas as to what type of service that she wants to provide to you guys there in Enfield. So, Lene, I'll let you just go ahead and start, and, you know, you can just kind of tell the audience some of the things that you have planned. I have two callers on the phone here, so I'll be trying to get to them in a few minutes. Call us if you're out there. You can go ahead and call in. We got the technical problems taken care of. I have Lene Ward on the line running for mayor of Enfield. You can feel free to ask her questions and just have a conversation. Lene, you can go ahead and take it away.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. I think that this is a great venue to try to get the message out to the listeners and to the people of Enfield. We really don't have a good communication network here where we can get news out, so this is definitely something that we should pursue doing in the future. I just want to tell the listeners why this is so important, and being here back at my home where I was born and raised, on Pope Street, to come back and see a place where was thriving at some point, And to come back and see the conditions that it's in now is heartbreaking, and it's disturbing that we don't. It's sort of like we've lost the generation to do anything, and then to have the generation that's in charge not to be doing anything is even more heartbreaking. So that's the reason why I've chosen to lead this path and go in this direction. That's the purpose I moved back to Enfield, is to do something. You know, there comes a time where talk is talk, but unless you come here and lend a helping hand, there's not much else that we need to hear from people. You know, if you're
right.
not willing to paint a building or bring in some business or get people involved, talk is talk. And I think that we've had enough talk lately in the last couple of years, and it's time to get to work.
Right.
We have a very aggressive plan that we have in place. We're not playing with this. I think that the people are ready. I've
okay.
knocked on doors. I've talked to people, and they're ready. They're coming out their house. They're ready.
Yeah, let me interrupt you for 1 second. I have one caller live on the line. Caller, can you hear? Hello, are you there? Caller, are you there? It says live, but no one's saying anything. Okay, Lene, you still there, ain't?
Listen in. That's all good. That's all good.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, the situation have changed, and, I mean, I'm just getting back to my hometown as well, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, 46 years gone, and you come back, and the community is basically the same, you know, look like it's going backwards instead of forward. But, you know, be as it may, we've had a lot of mayors there in Enfield, and it really don't look like, for some reason, most of the small communities has just been lost in the system. On your plan here, you've got an economic abundance. And can you just explain to the general public a little bit what that means? And in the meantime, I'm trying to get our callers on the line.
Okay. Someone told me on the street the other day that I need to break it down. Basically, economic abundance is more money, more money, more money. That's basically what it is. Some of the points that we have targeted for to increase our revenue here in town is all city-owned land. There should not be any reason why the town is owning any property. This property should be sold. That's money, okay? I don't know why we're holding on to property. Nothing is on that lot. We're not getting any revenue from the light bill. We're not getting any people in to buy products from the stores. So those vacant lots need to be sold, and something need to be put on those lots. Another one of our target areas for more money, more money, more money is abandoned properties. We have this thing that we're going to start is Blighton. It's been done in major cities. It was done in downtown Charlotte. It was done in downtown Newark. It's so popular now that the government has even put forms out there that all you need to do now is fill in the blanks. And basically what it is you target abandoned property, be it downtown property or private property that people have just decided to get up and leave Enfield and leave their property here for us to look at, to find them. The first
right.
fine
right.
is $4,000. Second fine is $6,000. The third fine is to take their property.
Yes.
Once you take that property, then you flip it, be it business, be it renovating it for people to move in homes. But there's a program in place to get this done. So that's how we're going to take care of this abandoned property.
Okay. I'm listening. I'm also having some technical difficulties here, so we're trying to work that out. So you can just continue to talk, okay?
Okay. Another thing that we are looking at is some of our laws on the books, and, you know, I don't know if anyone else have thought about the old laws that's probably been on the books in Enfield since way back in the day, but some of those laws have to be updated. There are certain restrictions that certain businesses cannot come into town. Things like that we need to update. We need to bring Enfield up to the 21st century. So that's another thing that we're looking at. And the most important thing is to appoint. You know, I have found out that the mayor can appoint people to do things.
Oh, yes. Hello, do
you
I
there?
Have a call on the line? Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So the most important thing for this economic abundance, more money, more money, more money, is to appoint a champion that is dedicated full-time to bringing businesses to Enfield.
Yes.
I think that we're in need of a person dedicated just to this area of businesses. So that's the items that we have for the economic abundance, how we can bring money into Enfield. And people need to realize our, you know, I talk to people and the two important things are light bill and businesses. Well, your light bill is not going to go down until other businesses pay into the light bill. And then you will not have to pay that load of running the government off your payments of the light bill. So until
right.
we get businesses in Enfield, we will continue to suffer. So that's the whole key to this, is to bring businesses in so that the load is not put on our senior citizens. The load
right,
is
right.
not put on our fixed income.
Okay.
Code.
All right.
So
let
that's where, you know, we with economic abundance.
Let me just take a break here. I've got three callers that is listening to us right now. So I want to let everybody know that if you're wanting to listen to the show through your internet, log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Daniel Clark Network Radio. If you want to call and talk to us live, you can call toll-free, everybody, so you don't have to worry about spending any money. You can call in toll-free. You can talk to Lene Ward. You can talk to myself. We have three listeners right now. Everyone in Enfield, we need to call our friends, our family. We need to call people and have them to listen, because if you don't realize that things are really changing in our community and the government is not really for communities anymore. So we need someone in the community that's going to make a difference. And I think bringing jobs to the community and getting drugs off our streets and crimes and things of that nature, that's a good thing. So once again, you can call in 888-689-4061. Okay, Lene, you've also got some things up here. You're calling 21st Century Service. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure, Dan. One of the things that I've realized here, which is kind of funny to me, is that we are still not able to pay our utility bill online. I think that is the funniest thing that I've heard, but sure enough, there's no vehicle for us to do that. That's a simple thing that we can do, and it will relieve some of the pressure from the two people that's sitting there all day collecting money to do other things and have people pay this bill online. There's also other systems that we can utilize to better improve the proficiency of our town workers. You know, a lot of towns are doing apps and they're putting in these service requests that citizens can actually put in a request. If there's a pothole on your street, you shouldn't have to go through 3-4 people to actually get a ticket and for somebody to get back to you. This is something that has already been developed. So it just comes to the point where we need to update our systems, update our people to the 21st century, and give people the technology in order to get things done in Enfield. If we're talking about bringing in new ideas, we have to be grounded to supply that need to them. So this is basically the 21st century, bringing our systems up to date.
Right, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, most neighborhoods now, as everybody knows, that fiber optic is taking over all of your copper. In other words, the cable companies now, it is a mandate that everyone be connected to fiber optic. That's how we're getting these 4Gs and the smart homes where you can be at work and have your bath water ready when you get home. This is new technology, all of your computers now. And if we're not in line with everyone else, then it makes it hard for people to want to move to your community. It makes it hard for businesses to want to locate in that area. So you are absolutely right about that. Police blog with community reports. That's what you was just speaking of. That town newsletter for local events. You plan to get that going as well?
Oh, yeah, we plan on, and the beauty of these two items, to use our kids for this. You know, I have found out that we have some youth in Enfield with some gifted talents that we're not tapping into. These kids can wrap their, you know, finger around this internet thing, and for them to come in after school and get this stuff going, that's what they need. I had a young kid to ask me a couple of weeks ago, Miss Ward, can you give me a job when I come in, you know, when you get in there? And I was like, well, baby, what can you do? And he was like, whatever you want me to do. These kids are ready to get involved. And you're looking at this whole mentoring part to teach them, you know, about how to do all these things. So we're going to use the youth for the newsletter to update our web homepage. If you've been out there lately, you've noticed there's nothing there. So we're going to use the youth for this. We're going to give these kids something to do. I want that town office to be buzzing. It's just, like I said, it's just time for people to come out, to get busy, and the people that want to work, there's something for them to do.
Now, in terms of work and in terms of developing jobs in the community, now, we've always told that there's plenty of jobs out there, but the individuals in our community don't have the skill set, which I feel is just, an excuse. But they don't have the skill set. So what is it that you plan to do that can get some of the individuals in the community trained so that they would be able to compete with some of these high-tech jobs and some of the jobs that is being developed now?
We're looking into actually providing some resources to people in Enfield, okay? Resources being training to start your own small business. You know, we have plenty of sisters and brothers out here that's doing things out of their homes. We want to bring in training to teach them how to go and start that business that you're already doing, but no one's going to come to your house, for real. I mean, we need you to get out there and open up a business to do this. So we're going to have seminars, and this is free. This is free. I'm sorry. I mean, we pay enough. Seminars to start your own business. We're going to have, I already have a person that is the training coordinator for Verizon that has relocated here from Florida. She's willing to donate her time to train in customer service, okay? So we have people that are willing now to volunteer their time to help people. You can't get a job in Enfield, for one, because we don't have any jobs in Enfield to give anyone, okay? The only...
Now, let me just, I mean, when you mention having jobs in Enfield, and, you know, I'm somewhat thinking that based on the way that the government is shaped now and as far as our communities is concerned, that we can no longer wait on the government in order to fund us or even to bring jobs into our community. My philosophy is that we have to create our own jobs in our own community. So I'm thinking, I mean, sure, we want to be attractive to manufacturers and other businesses, but how do we move forward on that?
Well, you have to realize when you have people that's going out creating that small business, they're going to need someone to work at that establishment. So, but you have to get the business here for the people to work. So even if, I don't know, I mean, somebody wants to open up a barber shop, you got to have somebody in there cutting hair, you got to have someone in there cleaning up. So these things generate jobs. It generates jobs. There are all kinds. You know, I was talking to a brother, and I was like, you know, y'all ride up and down 301 every day. Every day. I see the same car every day, up and down 301. Start charging $1 to take people from this place down to the only grocery store. I'm not even going to get into that right now. But taking people from one place to the grocery store, bringing them back, charge $1. You know, next thing you know, you're going to have some money. You're going to start you a taxi service. You know, you
right.
Start from there, you're going to have a service to go to Rocky Mount. You're going to need drivers. That's how you're generating jobs.
Now, I was just talking, matter of fact, to a company other day, and you know, I'm into the telecommunication, I don't know. I don't see any black cable companies in this area. If we've got cable, it would have to come from Southern Link, or it would have to come from Charter or one of these organizations. Then the prices is somewhat outrageous. In terms of technology and in terms of like Fios and the 4G network, matter of fact, whenever I'm over in that area, I can't get reception, and a lot of individuals can't get reception. How or what thoughts do you have to kind of bring us into that? Then as far as computers is concerned, you know, most families now, if they don't have a computer, that's the way the technology is going. That's how most kids are learning these days. So is there any plans in assisting the residents as far as getting this kind of technology? I know we talked about having infield installed with fiber optic throughout the city. Can you explain a little bit on those thoughts and the benefit that it'll be to the community?
I think that we have to go out and try to find the resources to get these businesses started. You can go to a person and say, okay, you want to bring a business here, I will supply you the land. I mean, already you're knocking off a couple of $1,000s. Or you can say, okay, I'll supply you the building. You're knocking off some money. So, but to actually go out and say, I'll give you, you know, I don't think Enfield right now is at that point that we can actually invest in businesses except for infrastructure, because that's all that we have. We have, I mean, I've flipped this budget upside down. We
right.
don't have revenue, and that's the problem. So to give them other things like land, like building, like any other resources that we may have that they can tap into, sure, I have no problem with that. But ask a town of our size, and being that the average income here is less than $20,000, would be pretty hard for us to do some cold investment into a business versus investing into the town as a whole, where you can go out and get investors to come in.
Right. Now, I've seen several specials on neighborhoods, small neighborhoods, in which, well, the first thing is the community have to be educated in terms of the focus. I mean, if you thinking in terms of bringing new companies and business into the community, then the community, in a lot of cases, will have to be educated. I understand what you're saying, and I feel that in order for us to provide for our communities and for our families, is that we're going to have to start being creative in doing your own business. Because
exactly.
It's really
exactly.
rough out here, but there's other communities that is have certain things that they strive on in that community. I mean, I've been in Perry Spirit, Virginia. They have one Walmart there, and everybody works at Walmart. You know, everybody works morning, day, noon, and night. Everybody works in that small community. There's such things as call centers, computers, manufacturing computers, technology.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place in Rocky Mount called West. It's nothing but a call center.
Right.
You know, so there are things that we can bring here to bring those jobs here. Not only that, somebody mentioned to me the other day about a dialysis center. You know, did I realize how many people in Enfield are on dialysis and they're going to Tarboro or Rocky Mount, Halifax, Ronald Rapids? Try to get one of those dialysis centers to come here.
Right, right.
So you know, like you said, we're going to have to think of things to bring. And not only that, you know, you have to tap into the need of the people, because there's no need bringing something, and for real, we don't need it.
Right.
It's nice to have it, but unless we need it, we're not going to use it.
Well, I mean,
Are there other callers out there on the air? I'm getting texts from people saying that they're calling in, but they're getting no answer. Is everything working fine?
Yeah, everything is working. What number are they dialing? I have two callers that is just sitting here. I can check again, but the number once again is 888-689-4061.
Okay.
That is the toll free number. And what is indicating to me here is that I have people that is listening, but no one is calling in to talk. Call, are you there? Yeah, so I'm not getting anyone. When they call in, it should ask them if they want to talk live or if they just want to listen. If they want to talk live, then they have to press a button, and that button will bring them live.
Okay. All right. I'll let them know.
Okay. Now, what about the drug epidemics that's in the community? I mean, what do you have in mind as far as rehabilitation centers and things of that nature? I mean, for anyone that's having some problems, I mean, I think the closest place would be where?
No idea. I was pretty shocked that in Halifax County, we don't have a drug rehab. When the youth, you know, or anyone else have a problem, especially through the court system, they send them to jail. That's their rehab. They do not have a rehab center, which I think that's one need right there, to get something started with the rehabilitation for drug addiction. The other thing is I cannot understand for the life of me why we all know where the drugs are. You should not know where to buy drugs unless you buy drugs.
Right.
There's a place here, it's so popular, they're calling it the drive-thru. I mean, this should not happen, especially when we have a police department budget, $868,000.
Okay, now, I'm trying to understand that. Can you repeat that?
You should not have a drug house in Enfield when you have a police department's budget of $878,000.
We got a lot of new cars.
Okay, well, maybe we need to sell that. rehab center.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe that there's any place between Raleigh is the closest place, so for someone that may want to change their life at that moment, they really don't have any place to go. So that's something else that I think maybe educating the community and getting individuals where they're focusing on changing their lifestyle as well as gearing up to get employment. So you said you had in plan to do training, and there are some businesses around the area that is looking. I'm starting a telecommunication training course, and I'll be training individuals in fiber optic and how to install data wires and set up computer networks and things of that nature. But and there is a market for that in this particular area, but an individual would have to want to take the time, the energy, and the effort, and then they have to mentally think about what it is that they can do and do it. Also, you got some things here as far as family and children is concerned, quality drinking water, safe neighborhood and streets, children's bill of rights. Can you explain that a little bit?
Everyone loves my children's bill of rights item. And it's basically where the officials of Enfield would go into agreement with every child in Enfield and give them their bill of rights.
Right.
They have a right to walk down the street in their neighborhood without getting shot at. They have a right.
Hello? Okay, you can continue.
Okay. They have a right to go to the playground and, you know, do things that kids do without being bullied. And
right, right.
So at the town goes into agreement with every child. And it's a ceremonial thing, and the child should feel proud that they have that right. And if anyone violates that right, they also have the right to bring them up on charges because
right.
people have violated their right. So this is something that I think is needed with our youth today to make them feel proud of who they are and be a proud child today in Enfield. You know, we have lost hope, you know, and everyone is feeling it, but our children should not grow up with this feeling.
Right.
They should be proud of who they are, and they should have a right to be who they are. So this is something that I'm very proud of, that I really want to get the kids involved with, and I want them to wear that as a badge of honor, you know, that they may be a child, but they have rights too.
Okay. Now, as far as our school system is concerned, I mean, how is that connected into the community? I'm told that the resources for our school system is not very well.
I think that there has been a history with Halifax County school systems that's been brewing for a while. We have kids that have gone to charter schools. Parents have taken them out of our public schools and put them in charter schools. We have kids taken out of our public schools and put into early college. You have all of this going on because the people have lost faith in our public school system. I think that it's time for people to get back involved with the school and not just turn your child loose and let the school just go, because I think we're all seeing what will happen when you don't get involved with the school, when you don't have an active voice in what the school is teaching your child or not teaching your child. You know, when I grew up, you know, parents were just there. They were just there. I went out to when one of my godsons, Haji, was playing school, and I went out to Southeast. I never went to Southeast. My kids
right.
were at your high school. And I went out to Southeast, and it was depressing. The building was depressing. So when a child goes into a building like that every day, and they see this every day, then no wonder that they don't feel you know, like they can achieve, because no one's showing them. You have to show them. You know, this is a generation of show me. You know, just teaching me is not good enough. You got to show me. So it seems like that we have stopped being involved with our schools. And I don't know, Dan, if it came from the fact that our schools have moved so far away from our town.
Well,
when we grew up, the schools were in town.
Right, right.
And now the schools are like miles away. So
right.
I don't know. Maybe somebody can do a project on that and find out, you know, if that was one of the problems. But we were more involved with the school. We could walk to school. We felt a part of the school because it was right here.
Okay. Now, is there any programs that is being provided in for let's say an individual decided that they want to quit school? Is there any programs for these individuals, I mean, that can kind of keep them into something other than hanging out on the streets and getting into the wrong thing and the peer pressure and the games and things of that nature? Is there any mention of developing any program that would redirect these individuals from getting involved in games and things of that nature?
I think that would be a perfect item with our nurturing families. You know, the only thing that I know of right now in field is one GED course that's being held in a building that I don't know why other courses are not being taught there, but there's only one, and that's the GED class for these young men to take. There's no automotive training. There's no, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing else going on here during the day that they can go to get that.
Right. Okay. Now, as far as grants and fundings, I mean, you know, the government really have a lot of money out there. And we're just not getting any of it. And that's because no one is doing any research and no one is trying to get any of it. What about grants for various different programs? And, I believe as a city, as a mayor, I believe, who is it, Elizabeth City, Elm City? They just received, I don't know how many millions of dollars to upgrade their school system so that everyone in the school system can have these little tablets and everything?
I mean, you don't even have to go that far. You can go to Rocky Mount and see where they even got a grant for sidewalks, you know. The problem here, and this is, and I'm so glad that you tapped into this, is that we do not have anyone that's trying to do anything. I'm sorry, but we don't. Because there's no reason why all these nonprofit organizations are able to get grants and the town of Enfield are not getting any grants except for the police department. There's a problem with that. And you look at the town of Rocky Mount and they have received grants to redo all of downtown Rocky Mount, the Booker T. Washington Theater, that whole section over there was grants.
Yeah, I see that they're really really making it look good over there. So that means
so this
that
is what we're trying to change. You know, I respect my elders. I think that they paved the way for us for a lot of things, but I think that it's time for us to go ahead and go to that next level. We've been sitting for too long, and there are people now that are ready, willing to work and get some things done. We have to get this done. We have to get it done, or we're going to have another generation to die.
I'll go to jail.
or go to jail.
Or go to jail.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm hoping that the listeners, I don't see anyone that is trying to talk live. But if so, when you call in to 888-689-4061, if you want to talk live, it should ask you to press a number, and I will see it here, and then I can bring you on live. So, now, the election is when?
Election is November 5th. Early voting started yesterday. People can go vote now.
Okay, and I hope that the audience hear that. Everyone, now, what location will they be able, for those that don't know where to go and vote?
Early voting is being held at the old courthouse in Halifax, which is the election board office. You go in there, you give your name. All you have to give is your name and address. They give you the voting ballot for infill. You go in the room, you vote, you put your slip in the machine, and that's it. I understand that's the reason, well, I know because I worked on the last presidential election, and we turned it out in early voting. Early voting counts. And
right.
People really need to understand that you can't wait for this. If you wait to November 5th and something happens and you can't get to the poll that day, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
You've had from yesterday to November 2nd to vote, and then
right.
you wait November 5th and you can't vote. So, you know,
okay.
early voting is the thing. We're urging all the citizens of Enfield to take part in that.
Right, right. Now, I was told or heard that there's complaints about the cost of electrical power in that area. I mean, I've heard several complaints that the electrical bills in the city of Enfield is outrageous. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, this is personal because my bill last month was $800. So, yeah, I take it personal. You know, you have to realize what we're paying for when we pay our light bill. It's not just for our light. The light bill is also used to pay for some of our government services.
What kind of government services?
Well, you have to realize if you're not getting revenue from any businesses, because we don't have but a few here, you're not getting revenue from the state because they're cutting back on giving towns the money that they used to give. You have to generate some revenue. Not generating that revenue from electric bills because you're not generating businesses. The citizens are being tapped for this. You have to realize that. You have to realize why we pay such a high rate. Not only does the utility company increase their rate, but we also have a tack on for the town. So it is what it is.
Don't quite understand that, but $800, what do you got a mansion?
Oh, with my light bill being $800?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it was $800. And it was $750, and the next month it was $800. And I had a dispute with that because of misread meters, be it that it may. It took a month for customer service to get back to me as to whether or not they were investigating my dispute. That took 30 days. unheard of.
So what do you have in mind? I mean, do you have any plans? I mean, do you think that this is a fraud, or, I mean, what would – are we just using that much power?
I'm not going to call it fraud. I will say that the day that we step in office, there will be an audit done. But you have to realize that a lot of things go into these services.
But what about the senior citizens? I mean, what about the senior citizens? What about the individuals that's on fixed income?
My thing, somebody got up in board meeting, and I'm going to put this out there because I'm hoping the listeners are listening. Got up in board meeting and not called my name, but, I mean, like I said, it is what it is, and accused me of telling people that I'm going to lower their light bill. Explain something. My solution to a lower light bill is not that I'm going to personally lower your light bill. My solution is a balanced budget. When we did that last increase of 4% to put on the citizens, we could have easily tapped into other funds to offset that cost. We didn't have to do that. And the citizens need to understand and get educated on how thing is done. I've done 20 years with the feds on budget. They need to understand this. We do not have to put that 4% on a senior citizen that's already on a fixed income that gets disconnected because she's short $20. I don't know how people sleep at night. Shouldn't be done. My solution, like I said, was a balanced budget. We did not have to give certain departments everything that they asked for. If we knew that the utility company increased our rate, we should have looked at other ways to cut. If the federal government has a suppressor, daggone the infield can have one too.
Right. Now, as far as senior citizens is concerned, matter of fact, we were talking earlier about being aware of what programs is available for individuals in the community, and I was telling you about the guaranteed home loan that is for Halifax Community County that is based on your income. And we mentioned the fact that no one really knows that these programs are out there. So how do we educate the community on the different programs that's being established so that they can take advantage? Because right now it don't appear that anybody knows about these programs is offered under USDA. If you are a resident of Halifax County, you are eligible for a loan, guaranteed loan, to purchase a home. So it is things like this. How do you get this information from your standpoint as becoming a mayor or being a mayor? Is there any programs that you would have to make sure that the citizens at least have the knowledge? I mean, you mentioned something about a newsletter, but what would that newsletter contain?
Newsletter would contain everything that we need. Like I said earlier, we don't have a venue out. We have a cable station that when you look at it, it will a couple of things. That ain't good enough for me. The newsletter, we will use mailing.
We will use any
vehicle necessary to get the information out, especially to our senior citizens. I understand mm-hmm. that we do have a senior citizens group. I don't know what's being done at that group except an exercise class. People need more than exercise. They need help with their expenses, with their bills, with their insulating their houses so that the heat comes, it's not going out the windows. But we're certainly looking into starting a lot of activities, and like I said, not just exercise, but also classes. We're looking to use some of these abandoned buildings and bring this into those places. Art classes where seniors can go and art where the kids can go. Book a library. Oh my God. Okay. We have a library here in Enfield with no restroom.
So what?
If that
seems to be something for a grant.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a library with no restroom.
Okay.
sorry, Dan. It's, you know, I just get so passionate about things that are going on, and no one, you know, it does not take a lot to get some of this stuff done, and that's the reason why it's so dear to my heart, because some of these things can be done immediately.
Okay. Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, I'm also looking here at enforcing existing curfew. I didn't know that Enfield had a curfew.
Well, we do. We do. The curfew, I think if you're under the age of 16, you're not out after 11.
So you say you're not supposed to be out before the age after 11?
Right, right. That curfew is not enforced. We have not enforced that. I know at one point we were fine the parents, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's things that need to be done.
Now, do you have any idea how many crimes is committed in the city of Enfield on a daily basis that would come under your public safety? Do you have any idea how many crimes is committed, being, you know, maybe theft or? But what is the most violent crimes that the citizen experienced there, and what would you do in order to deter individuals that is kind of terrorizing the community with this stuff?
Well, you know, it happens on the weekends more than often. I just feel like we had problems with break-ins one time. You have to, and this is going to hurt somebody, but it's okay. People here are not afraid of the police department. I said it, I'll say it again. They are not, you know, I tell you what, you ride through Whittaker, you know that speed limit in Whittaker's is 35. I bet you everybody that go through Whittaker's break their speed. You know why? Because they get pulled every time.
Right.
They respect that. Don't nobody go flying through Whittaker's. It's something that has been done over the years, and now you just automatically break your speed.
They have a reputation, trust me.
Exactly. Exactly. We need a reputation. We will not tolerate this. We won't tolerate it. We cannot tolerate it, especially if one hand you're saying, oh, bring in some businesses, and the next hand you out robbing them. We're not going to tolerate it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's it. But you have to have a police department that is respected. You have to. You have to. We had a shooting that the owner had to go to the sheriff's department to investigate it.
Right.
If we have to call in the sheriff's department every time there's a major problem, then we have a major problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, with the policing of a community, you know, sometimes we have these police forces that rather than serving justice, they are profiling. And we noticed that in a lot of small neighborhoods. And we all know about the system and the way that certain individuals are targeted. So with that police department and enforcing those various different laws, how do you deal with these policemen where they treat individuals like citizens until such time that they need to act in other ways?
Let me see. I know in the past your police chief was also your town administrator. If you have a problem with a police officer, and this is protocol, you have a problem with the police officer, you go to the chief. You have problems with the chief of police, you go to the town administrator. You have problems with the town administrator, you go to the mayor. That's protocol. I think a lot of things went by because you had that one person running everything. I don't see that being the case after we get in office. It certainly will not be the case. I believe that a citizen has a right to file a complaint against any officer if they're not doing their job. Now, if we have a budget of, I'm going back to this again, $878,000, and these officers are getting paid, then they need to do their job. They don't need to be hiding somewhere, sleeping, or any other activities that they are not being paid to do. This is money is our tax money.
Hold on 1 second. This is Network Daniel Clark Network Radio. You're on live. Who's speaking?
Hello. Hello.
Yes, you're on live.
Yes, I was just listening on the conversation, and I was just listening, and she just moved down here, haven't been down here 2 years, and she just kind of just say stuff because she want to run, but she even not long enough. How long are you supposed to the police department?
Can
I reply
can
to that?
Yes,
I've been in Enfield for 9 years. I've had a business in Enfield for 3 years.
Is she lying?
20 years.
Hello?
Okay.
Well, so much for that.
Okay.
All right. Well, those are the type of conversations that you would have. I mean, people they find it very difficult to adopt a change Far as I'm concerned, infield has been the same, and there is no difference. I don't blame that on anyone. I just look at it and take it for what it is. I haven't been here in order to dissect it or anything, but it just seems kind of strange to me that, you know, I'm concerned. I mean, I have family that's there and small kids, and what type of environment I grew up in Enfield to leave Enfield, and that's what most people do. But I was hoping that somehow someone would come up with some ideas to create jobs and make things better for the individuals and the citizens of Enfield, not just Enfield. I mean, Brattleboro, Whitaker, all of these little small towns. When 95 was, when 301 was thriving, then these small cities were thriving. But now it just seems like when 95 came out, your drop-off points just Runoak, Rabbit, Rocky Mount, Wilson, and everything in between is just dying. So
yeah, but look at what Wilson did. Wilson went from 301 all the way out to 95. Wilson knew that if they didn't tap into that 95 traffic, they would go down too.
Right,
so,
right. And that's basically the same with Runoak Rapid and also with Rocky Mount. I mean, they don't have as much there in Rocky Mount, but you know, it just seems to me that this was done, you know, with a study.
Of course. And Dan, that's the part that, you know, if nothing else, what I would love for the people of Enfield to do is to think and have a vision. There's no way we're going anywhere if you cannot tell me how we're getting there. I'm not following you. I don't care who you are.
Right.
If you don't have a vision on how to get us from point A to point B, you go by yourself. And that's been the problem. We
now,
haven't been anywhere.
Let me ask you this. Do you have town hall meetings, and how often? Because we never hear anybody talk about these meetings. When are they being held? And, I mean, is there anything educating individuals that is there on what the plans are?
We have board meetings the third Monday of every month, 5:30. We have
Are they
open
to
the
general public?
Open to the public. The citizens have 3 minutes at the end to say something. We feel like this is not conducive to the citizens of Enfield, especially when we don't know what our commissioners have been doing for that month or anything else, the departments or anything else. The board meeting, we should have a form where the citizens can ask their officials anything and get answers, be it board meeting or be it a separate form. That's why they were voted to be there, to represent the people. If you're not talking to the people of Enfield, guess who you're representing? Yourself.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, and that's another thing, is that it needs to be more effort in getting individuals involved in what's going on in the city, because it gives a person, if they're involved and they know that there's good things coming down the pike, I mean, then it makes them a little bit more flexible. It makes you feel better to participate.
Yeah, I mean,
I
don't want to walk into a meeting and there's a dialogue going on and somebody's talking about something and I have no idea what they're talking about. And next thing I know, they done voted on it.
Right.
Give the people the knowledge of what's going on. Give them that choice. If they want to know, then at least they can know, because there are some citizens here that are concerned, that want to know what's going on. But give them that choice.
Right, right. Okay.
So to a board meeting and there's no discussion, then you're basically telling the citizens, well, y'all wait till we finish, and then we'll deal with y'all.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm wondering, we talked about programs and creating jobs and things of that nature, but I'm wondering if there's anything that you have right now. Once again, I was thinking of Inboard in high school could have been a perfect technology college, and, of course, I'm into fiber optic and that kind of thing. But I saw it as being a place that technology college, cause center, teaching people how to build computers.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Borden because we slept on that. And now the New Focus has that complex, and it could have easily, the Halifax County Board school system offered it to Enfield, and we could have easily purchased that complex, the whole complex.
Right.
We slept on that. We've lost that. It's gone. But certainly there are some things that's going to be happening out there, that complex, that we can utilize. So even though it's not a town-owned property, it is a facility that will that's there for the need of the people. The only reason why they're there is because of the people. So, we could have done some beautiful things out there in Borden. I mean, that's one of our – everybody went through in Borden that was born and raised here. So at least it's not lost to someone that would tear it down and rebuild something else. At least it's still going to stand.
Right.
So
okay. Now, what about the – is there anything in Enfield that is considered as being historical that we want to reserve? I mean, I can think of several places that they have gotten rid of, that Buddy Saw Barbershop. I mean, who wants to reserve that? But that was a business. George Brunson, I mean, I think it still exists, but I noticed the Carlisle's place is gone. Is there, I mean, those were black businesses that was striving during the time that I grew up. Is there any places there that used to be black businesses that they plan to keep, or are they just getting rid of all of these buildings?
Well, you know, like I said in the beginning, if you have abandoned something, then, you know, like you said, we're the ones left to look at this every day. This is abandoned property. And I understand, you know, people may not want to part with it,
right,
but at least do something about it. The only... In Enfield High School was considered historical. That's the reason why they kept the structure as is. If you notice that when they did those apartments, certain things they couldn't change, and the windows and that type of thing. So that's considered a historical site in Enfield. You can register any site and let them come out, and they will tag it as historical, and certainly you can start getting funding because it is a historical site.
Well, the whole Halifax County is what they call a hub zone, and that is a historically undeveloped business zone, and the government give grants and the government give monies to businesses as well as grants for individuals that want to establish a business in these areas. So the entire Halifax County, which means that Enfield is a part of that, and Enfield is considered as a hub zone. So individuals that want to start businesses, they can get various different grants from the government from having a business established in these locations.
Yeah, one of the speakers that we had to come in from Greensboro, Marcy, she reminded us that when you come into Enfield, there's a sign up there, economic development site. And she was saying, basically, that's a blank check for us. And
right.
They have already targeted us as the prime area for economic development, and we're not tapping into that. So
we need
you're
to
right.
tap into all of those resources.
Right.
Everybody else is taking advantage of them, then why that...
That's the reason why these nonprofits are able to get all of this grant money, because they are tapping into it. They're tapping into the grant money to get programs for the kids. Why aren't we tapping into it to
right.
get grant money for businesses, for fiber optic? Why aren't we tapping into this? So, you know, call us on the air. That's something that you need to ask. Why aren't we given these services? Why aren't we doing the job that need to be done?
Yes, and we have individuals on the line that's listening. Once again, you're listening to Daniel Clark Network Radio, and I have as my guest tonight Ms. Lene Ward, which is running for the mayor of Enfield, North Carolina. If you want to call in, and Lene is 8:30 now, but I don't know if I'm going to do the second part of the show, so if you want to continue, we can. Whenever you have gone to your point, you know, we can just cut it off. If anyone out there, you want to call in to talk with Lene Ward, you can call at 888-689-0061. This is your opportunity to talk and discuss anything that you're concerned about as she campaigns for the next mayor of Enfield, North Carolina. I think now that we have to start getting more involved in our politics, in our communities, because the way that the government is moving now, if we're not directly involved, then we're going to lose out on a lot of opportunities, and they're just going to pass us by. So hopefully individuals will start spending more time and trying to figure out what's going on in their community and become an active part of the community. So, Ms. Ward, if you want to continue, we can. If not, we can wrap this up. And if you want to do this again before the election, you're welcome to do so. We put it together in a short amount of time. So maybe the next time we have more people participating.
I would certainly love to, Dan. Like I said, I think that this is a good venue to get the word out. We should continue this even after the election, once we're in office. So
right.
If the callers, you know, I can go on and on, but someone told me to just, you know, cut it, save some for next time.
We
are very vigilant what we want to do with Enfield. Like I said before, people that you know, don't want to get involved, you don't have to. And it's like you said, it's going to pass you by. But we're going to do this. We're going to do it. I didn't come to Enfield to sit back and do me. I mean, I can do me anywhere. I came to Enfield because this is my home, and
well,
I wanted to come back here to do something.
Speaking of that, coming home, bringing something back, I mean, you know, one of the things that I look at in other cultures is that they all work together. You will not see in a Korean restaurant everybody that delivers the food, the cooks, the drivers, the distributors, everybody's Korean. So they have that chain. Everything, their wealth is within their community. And we have to learn how to establish ourselves the same way. Their money circulate to each other.
Yeah.
You know. But everybody makes money off of us.
Yeah. I mean, not only do we have those of us that have come back home, we have those that have stayed here that are continued, you know, the struggle of trying to do things. And I don't say that there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I just think that there comes a time, and you also have people that never even lived here that are moving here. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
So you put those three sets of people together, and you can make this work. It's time to stop the separation. It's time to stop with, she didn't, you know, she left. She left Enfield. Yes, I did. I left Enfield, and I came back to Enfield as vice president of a bank. Say what you want to say, I worked. And I came back with that working ethic. So we need everyone to get this to work. That's the only way that it's going to work, that all three areas, the people that stayed here, the people that left and came back, and the people that never even knew about Enfield until somebody told them, and they took a chance and moved here.
Right.
So this is how it's going to work. And,
well,
and we're going to make it work. So, you know, I want to thank you again for allowing us to speak tonight.
Right.
As before, anybody that have any questions, we'll do this again. Bring your callers on.
Hold on, I believe
one of my flyers, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid, you know.
Hello?
I will answer any question that's legit. I don't have a problem with that.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we have a caller just as you was getting ready to
sign
get
off.
Line. caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
hello?
And your name is?
I'm Chester Williams. I am a resident of Enfield. I am one of those that's homebred here who went away and was away a long time and just came back 2 years ago. And I'm starting a nonprofit here, and I'm one that tapped into those funds. And I must say that the funds aren't there. They're just the people here are not aware or have the motivation to believe in themselves. And I think that what Lene was saying, we do need to come together. And that's not just a thing here in Enfield. It's part of the culture of the whole county. People do their things separately and don't want to come together or support one another because they think it's endangered to their ego. So I think we need to re-educate our communities because we have a great thing here in Enfield, and I believe in that. I left here because I had the motivation to leave so that I could come back and do the very thing that God placed me back here to do now. And there's other people here that want to do that but don't have that same motivation and drive that I have. And there are people who are away that want to come back, but they cannot come back because of the stigma that's placed on Enfield, that we're not people that perpetuate success, and we're exactly the opposite of that.
Right. Now, Chester, you say you have a nonprofit, and I'll let Ms. Ward address or respond to that.
Well, I mean, that doesn't – I mean, I don't even need to respond to that. Chester has come back to Enfield to do something. He has a mission, you know, and that's where we're trying to get to. We have to have a mission. We have to have a vision. We have to have a purpose. So,
now,
you know.
If you don't mind me asking, what kind of nonprofit do you have?
It's called A Better Chance, A Better Community, and initially we're focusing on the youth and teens of Enfield to bring them together to focus on self-esteem, self-awareness, and to start teaching them entrepreneurial skills, because a lot of our youth here is an untapped resource, and they are very talented and bright, but they don't have the outlet to be creative here, and their outlet becomes bad behaviors, or they become bored, or they participate in illegal activities. I want to change that so they can focus into something, because some of them have dreams and they just haven't been directed to do what they want to do. And also I want to work with the adults, the seniors here, to get them trained in the mindset of working together and to pull together all these different resources in Enfield, like what Reverend Ellis is doing at St. Paul, like what Parson Rec is doing, different activities like that, so that the whole community is involved and have a voice at the table so it doesn't seem separated. Because like Lene said, everyone does, not everyone, but most people here has that idea of separation. What if so-and-so is doing it, well, it's not for me to participate in that. Well, we're all doing things together for the better of Enfield. So I want to be that resource for Enfield, that it can come to a one-stop place to get what's going on in Enfield and how to become a better productive citizen to give back. Hopefully that when the youth and teens graduate, they will remember what they've done here in Enfield and want to return back once they receive the college education.
Now, you know, this is something that, and this was one of my purpose, is to try to do whatever I can to, I own a telecommunication company, and I hope to start training individuals how to terminate and install fiber optic cable. And then my partner, which is an electrician, we're going to be giving a residential electrical course. And that's something we can collaborate on in the future. But you're absolutely right. We need to come together as a community. And I offer this service. Maybe we can do this, you know, biweekly or monthly or whatever the case may be, and try to get more people to participate, to come to the station with more ideas and continue to work together to establish something that could be for the benefit of all.
That's right.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Same here.
Yeah, we definitely need to come together and rebuild Enfield together. You know, we don't need people, we don't need to go all in our separate ways. And all you're doing is splitting the hairs instead of keeping the hair together and making it strong.
That's right.
Well, this is home, and we are all cousins. In one form or another, this is home, and we are all related to each other in one form or the other. So if we are, we can either destroy our cousins or we can educate, build, and grow together as cousins. So
because we have a strong foundation here in Enfield. Our history is very rich here, and a lot of people do not know our history, that a lot of people look at Littletown and Halifax as being the place of independence born, but it really started here in Enfield with the Enfield riots.
the Enfield riots.
That sparked the conversation from freedom from Great Britain. And then it went to Enfield, went to Halifax to draw up those documents. But that conversation started here in Enfield. And the tension rose up here in Enfield to step out. And Enfield used to be a big town. We used to be the county seat for Edgecombe County before we was part of Halifax. So people don't know the history here, how rich it is to the country as a whole, not just to where we're located. We're not just about peanuts and fields and stuff. We used to have a thriving impact on this country. And we can get back to that because we are all ancestors of those people who fought those battles for us.
Oh, speaking of ancestors, I mean, we just have to move this thing forward because of the blood, sweat, and tears that was suffered in order to get us to a certain point in life. So I think it is a good thing. I think this idea is a great idea. I'm glad that Lene took the time out of her busy schedule to come on and talk to the citizen of Enfield. Chester, I'm glad that you came on, and I'm hoping that maybe for those who are listening that you can spread this to your friends, your family, and let them know that we're here, we're trying to communicate, we're trying to do things to better the community and start more programs. Lene, I'll let you close it out or just tell the citizens what you want to do to close out.
Okay. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, callers, for calling in. Stay tuned. Back. This discussion is not that the only way we're going to get where we need to go is to talk, to communicate, and open our doors. Time to open the doors and let people in, and let's get this rolling. So early voting has asking that the citizens of Enfield think about where you want to be. Where are you trying to take your family? What do you want for your kids? Think about what's best for you and your family in Enfield, and Enfield will make it happen if you have a leader that will take it there. So thanks again for everything, and as soon as we can reschedule something, we will do this again.
Okay, and just for the listeners and for everybody, this show is available Monday through 7 days a week, 3 hours per day. We can schedule the show anytime that we want to, but we need to start getting community involved. So, Chester, I'm glad that you came on. I think a lot of individuals probably is a little shy to be on the radio. By the way, this is internet radio, and it is live all over the world. So, once again, I want to give out a little shout. Well, not really a shout, but to our sponsors, A-Plus Auto Sale, Good Cars, Great Sales. You can call Jeff Clark at 252-343-5224. Want to mention once again Ruben's Barbecue over Rocky Mount, right there by K&W. This brother have a restaurant over there, some of the best food that I've had in the area. We want to support this establishment. He's located at 1232 North Westland Boulevard, Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So we want to make sure that he get enough business to stay in business. We must learn how to support our own. And for all of you guys that like those trail rides, Shaw Ballpark Trail Riders, they're doing their thing tonight. So they invite you out to their third annual trail ride. That is tonight and tomorrow night. They're at 9205 Shaw Road in Kentley, North Carolina. So they're having the Friday night fish fry as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. The trail ride begins tomorrow at 11 a.m. Saturday. $10 donation after 3. Music by DJ Bernard. Guest appearance by C Smooth of the Nasty Boys. For more information, contact Bobby Bryant. 252-315-3447. Once again, my name is Daniel Clark. The show is Daniel Clark Network Radio, and you've been listening to the episode Neighborhood Watch. Chester, I appreciate you. Ms. Ward, we're waiting to see what happened, and if Ms. Simmons wants the opportunity, then she can do the same. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our show. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
I bet you that was Sherrod. It sounded like
it. I heard.
It sounded just like it.
That was good, right?
It was good. I got to see.